Hey, are you ready to move your life? I mean, really move it? It's time to turn up the dial on your energy, your health, your sport performance, your happiness, and your relationships. If you want to live with more freedom, more adventure, more passion, more fun, and more success, if you're ready to get your brain in the game and achieve the most out of every area of your life, then it's time to move to live and live to move with your host, Jill Summers.
Hello, you made it, you're here, you're in the right place if you are ready to dial up your life. This is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching. In honor of Mother's Day this month, our podcast focus is empowering the she, empowering the mother in each of us, empowering the woman in each of us. And yes, men, that means you too, because whether you want to admit it or not, you have feminine energy within you. Empowering you, regardless of where you are in this crazy cycle we call life, whether you are a mother-to-be, a mother of young children, a mother of pets, a mother of adolescents, an empty nester, or you're in your later years. This series is all about tipping our hats to you and helping you fill your cup of Yahoo! I'm here today with a brilliant woman, Dr. Sarah Axtell, a naturopathic doctor practicing in Shorewood, Wisconsin. She's the owner of Lakeside Natural Medicine, where she provides holistic supportive health and wellness consultations for the entire family. She's also a busy mother of two young daughters. I am so excited to be here interviewing Sarah today because I've personally experienced the benefits of her magic. One of the things she did for me is help me get through my Ironman training at a time when I was actually dealing with some adrenal fatigue. And let me tell you, Ironman training is difficult enough without adrenal fatigue. My clients have experienced benefits of her magic, and I know that you will gain great benefits from listening to her insights and suggestions today. She's so awesome. I love her. She's incredibly well-trained. And she has the supportive, encouraging bedside manner, which, as some of you may know, our doctors aren't always great at. I do have a magical wish with Sarah. I wish I could download all of your knowledge, like take a little USB port and just plug it into my head so I don't have to go through all the schooling. So I know that's not really possible, but this interview is going to be the next best thing to getting some of that information that you're so great at. Welcome.
Thank you, Jill.
Dr.
Thanks for having
Sarah.
Me.
So Thank exciting. You. Honestly, listeners, you're going to love her. So stay with us. We're going to talk today about a little syndrome called superwoman power. And we're going to talk about how Sarah moves through her life being an active woman, an active businesswoman with two young daughters of her own. So first of all, can you please explain to our listeners what a naturopathic doctor is? And how is it different from a traditional Western medicine doctor?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Jill. So as a naturopathic doctor, I am trained as a primary care doctor. But I always tell people in the state of Wisconsin, I can't be their primary care doctor because Wisconsin's not yet a licensed state. So there's licensed states on the West Coast and East Coast. And you know, Wisconsin, Midwest is a little bit slow to catch on. But we're lobbying for that so that naturopathic doctors can be your primary care doctor. But I have that background, I have that training, I went to a four-year accredited naturopathic medical school. But you'll find that my approach is different than most conventional doctors in that I use things like herbs and homeopathy, and my passion is food as medicine. So, you know, I always talk about what people are eating and how they're fueling and nourishing themselves. And my goal with every patient of mine is to identify the underlying cause. So it's not just about, you know, putting the band-aids on the symptoms, but truly connecting all the pieces and identifying what is the root cause of their illness or their symptoms.
That's one of the things that I've been so excited about working with you is I feel like you're taking me into account as a unique individual.
Mm.
And I haven't always felt that in
sure.
previous care. So tell us more about how you do that, how you take the person as a unique person in their
And not
symptoms.
Just a diagnosis.
Exactly.
You know, not just a diagnosis walking in the door. Well, I have the benefit of a private practice, so I can have a lot of time with my patients. The first visit is about an hour, and follow-ups are about 30 minutes. So that first hour is really the patient just telling me their whole story. And, you know, if they're coming in for a digestive complaint, like let's say IBS, I'm not just asking about their digestion. Certainly that's a big core of my question and my intake, but a lot of it is, you know, how are you, what are you eating? And what's your stress like? Certainly we know the gut is the second brain. And when people come in tired, it's not just about giving them an herb to stimulate that, to stimulate their energy level. It's more about figuring out, why are you tired? You know, what is there? Are you not sleeping? Is there a thyroid dysfunction? Is there an adrenal dysfunction? So it's truly listening, you know, to the patient.
That's awesome. It really is awesome to know that I'm not just taking something to mask my symptom or to be a Band-Aid, but I can find out, like, what is at the core of the problem? What's the root?
What's the root? Yeah. And I find a lot of times the root starts with stress. You know, we're doing too much all at once and not slowing down. And certainly that can affect the digestion. It can affect your hormones. Oftentimes the root can be a food sensitivity, you know, where maybe a patient's eating gluten, and it's not only caught wreaking havoc on their digestive tract, but there's something called the gluten blues, where it makes us feel kind of foggy and depressed or anxious. You know, gluten can cross that blood-brain barrier and be essentially a neurotoxin. So the root cause is really, really important to identify. And I do that by simply question, you know, a good case history, but also labs. So I do a lot of labs with my patients.
So you do incorporate some of those other aspects, like objective measures.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love doing labs. Yeah. As a clinician, that's like one of my favorite tools to identify the underlying cause. Mm-hmm. So saliva testing is a great way to test for adrenal fatigue. You know, adrenal fatigue, we'll get into that, but that's where you feel really, really exhausted from just overworking yourself. Blood tests are a great way to identify, like, the thyroid. And, you know, a lot of people go to their medical doctor and they say, I'm tired, I'm losing hair, I can't lose weight. You know, what's wrong with me? And, you know, I think I have a thyroid problem. And the medical doctor often will test just their TSH, but that's just such a, kind of indirect measure of thyroid function. So when I do labs, I make sure that I do very comprehensive look, so we're not missing anything. Nutritional deficiencies, you know, eating, maybe you're a vegetarian or a vegan and you're deficient in B12, or maybe you eat meat, but you're just not absorbing that B12, and that can make you feel really tired and exhausted.
Absolutely. And you know, this hearing you talk about that and feeling tired and exhausted makes me think of a statistic that I recently saw about women in the workforce. And it says that since World War II, at the time of World War II, I should say, only 33% of the workforce was women. And that has grown and evolved.
Absolutely.
Today. In 2016, 57% of the workforce is comprised of women. So we're almost 100% increase since then. And
which is awesome.
It is awesome. Like, yes.
Yes, right. But of course, you know, we're still mothers.
Absolutely.
And we're still doing it all.
And it can be exhausting.
Absolutely.
I think there's a pressure on us to have to be able to do it all. Otherwise, it's not enough.
Right.
You wrote a blog called Superwoman Super Tired.
Yeah.
It's so... such a fantastic read, everybody. I want you to go to Sarah's website. What is your website?
LakesideNaturalMedicine.com. And there's a tab where you can look at resources. And one of the resources, in addition to recipes and links, certain websites, I have the blog. And you can, there's a search menu to search for that. Superwoman, super tired.
You guys, go to this website because it's really chock full of amazing information. Like she said, she has recipes, she has insights, she has information that is going to incredibly help you wherever you are in your life. But this particular blog is something I want to talk about today. And you talk about a phenomenon that a lot of us are familiar with, which is trying to be superwoman, but it's also being super tired.
Yeah, right. And I mean, in today's world, women are doing it all. We're playing the role of mother and daughter and supportive friend and neighbor, helping each other out, and entrepreneur, employee. And we're attempting to be that superwoman. But that superwoman mentality can very, very fastly go into that super tired. state, which is adrenal fatigue. So what happens is when we're in that constant fight or flight mode, when we're go, 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 doing 10 things at once, we're trying to accomplish it all, we're pumping out a hormone called cortisol. Cortisol is your stress hormone. It should be higher in the morning and should go down steadily throughout the day so that you can sleep at night. But unfortunately, with everyday stressors, we're pumping out a lot of cortisol all throughout the day. And that can lead, if it's excess cortisol, that can lead to fat deposits in the midsection. So ladies, if you're having trouble losing the weight in the midsection, despite your healthy diet and exercise, it could be at cortisol excess or cortisol dysfunction. Wired and tired feeling, you know, where you have that, I'm tired, but I'm kind of wired. I'm kind of anxious. Insomnia. And then eventually your body, so you pump out all this cortisol, all this kind of fight or flight mode, right? That adrenaline, you can think of it as, you pump that out you produce that for so long, and then your body says, you know what, I can't do this anymore. And you get into a state of depletion, or what's called, in naturopathic terminology, we call that adrenal fatigue. And that then leads to that exhausted state. You're no longer wired necessarily, now you're just tired. You're depleted. And that can lead to depression, brain fog, again, that weight loss resistance. And there's a common correlation between adrenal fatigue and thyroid dysfunction. So if you're wondering, why is my thyroid not working properly? You know, I used to have good thyroid numbers, and now I resonate with all those symptoms of low thyroid. Why is that? It's because you're probably doing too much. You know, when the body's tired, it wants to tug or kind of pull on different organ systems in attempts to slow it down. And one of the first organ systems to go is the thyroid.
And then what do people do? They go towards the stimulants.
Yeah, absolutely.
The caffeine, the right. Power drinks.
Right, absolutely. Something right. To bring them up. You know, so if you find you're relying on caffeine, yes, it works in the short term, but it really can be detrimental long term to your adrenal glands.
Yeah. You know, I feel like you're everything you just said there, you could put my name on, because I've experienced all of
sure.
those. And I used to think that when we discovered what was going on, that I could treat it and it would be like gone, mm-hmm. because I was smart and I was eating well and exercising and decreasing, of course, my stress and so forth. But what I have found is that it on occasion sneaks back in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something you have to constantly be mindful of. You know, I think as women, we want to give, and we want to say yes to everything in order to help everybody out. But it's a skill to say no. It's really important to say no. So I encourage women to ask themselves, does it bring me joy? You know, when you're asked to do something, asked to do a favor, does this bring me joy? Or is this really how I want to spend my precious time? Or am I passionate about this? And if the answer's no to those questions, it's okay to be selfish. You know, I tell people it's okay to feel empowered about giving back to yourself, about that self-care.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, one of the things I try to share with my clients is the difference between being selfish and self-full.
I love that.
Right? Because
yes.
We can fill ourselves up. And when we do that, we're actually better for the people around us, our family,
absolutely.
Our kids,
we're
our
better role
community.
Models.
Right.
Yeah, we're full. We're ready to give again.
Right.
But if we're depleted and we're going to try and give, it's not going to be as helpful to other people.
I also, from a psychological perspective, see that as sort of a distraction. Not just women, but people can sometimes put others in front of them because it's a distraction from getting to sort of the root
yeah.
psychology or the root cause,
right.
the root things that are going on within them. Even if it's not a physical thing, it might mm-hmm. be a spiritual depletion or
yeah.
an emotional state that they don't really want to face. So if they focus on everybody else.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, the really busy people. I find
right.
really busy people that don't ever want to sit down. They want to do 10 things on their checklist every day. And I find that they're sometimes escaping from something.
Yeah, and we've all almost created this, like, busy badge.
Yes.
Like, I'm busier
yeah.
than, really, you think you're busy. Look how busy I am. And, like, I'm wearing this badge on my chest in pomp and circumstance. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's a celebration. And
mm-hmm.
I think that mindset is a place where we really need to go to and clean up and
mm-hmm.
get healthier.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, too, if you have found that when people clean up these energy systems, the
mm-hmm.
adrenals and the thyroid, and they start eating cleaner, have you found that they tend to be more psychologically sound happier, more joyful, and then it's easier to make these boundaries?
Sure, sure. I mean, let's take the gut. I mean, as a naturopathic doctor, I always ask people about what they're eating and how they're digesting their food, even if they're not coming in for that. Because let's say they're coming in for anxiety or depression. Well, 80% of your, or about 90% of your serotonin actually is produced and stored in your gut. So if you're eating crappy food, if you're eating sugar, and if you're eating a lot of dairy and you're sensitive to it, or a lot of gluten and you're sensitive to it, and you're not allowing your body to make that serotonin, then yes, you're going to feel depressed. So there is, there's always that intimate connection between the physical body and the mental emotional state.
That's so intriguing, because I don't think people make that connection.
Sure.
They might think, oh yeah, I know, I might get bloated and uncomfortable when I have dairy.
Yeah.
And sometimes they go, I'll have the ice cream and it's worth the bloat. I mean, I get that. But they probably don't make the connection with feeling depressed or blue or low energy after having certain foods.
And usually it's not instant. And that's where we need to remember to ask yourself the next day after having an inflammatory meal, whether it be very gluten rich or very dairy rich or very sugar rich, that next day or two, you may experience depressive state or an anxious state.
Mm-hmm. In your opinion, there's a bit of controversy about gluten.
Yeah.
Just the other day, there was a doctor on a radio show saying that it's kind of a farce and it's sort of a fad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you want to say about that?
You know, gluten or wheat, the grain of wheat has dramatically changed over the past 30, 50 years. It's a much different plant or grain than it is today. Or than it was in the past. It's been genetically modified to have quite a high content of gluten, the protein, the inflammatory protein. Well, gluten for processed foods is desirable. It holds cookies together, and it makes bread nice and soft and holds it together. But for our body, we have not evolved to be able to digest this new kind of Frankenwheat or this new foreign substance.
So would you say... And I know everybody's different. And again, one of the things I love about you is you treat the person as a unique individual. What would you say to people who don't think that they're sensitive to gluten? Would you still recommend that they are gluten-free?
Well, there's two ways to identify food sensitivities. I would say the number one sensitivity I see with my patients is, in fact, gluten. That's the protein in wheat. So breads and pastas and crackers and cereals. The number one sensitivity is gluten, but some people it's not gluten. So I walk people through either an elimination challenge diet, where for about 4 to 6 weeks, I have them eliminate all the pro-inflammatory foods. That would be gluten, dairy, sugar, corn, soy, and potentially even eggs. And after the 4 to 6 week mark, then the body is clean, you've got a clean slate, and you can reintroduce one at a time to see what truly is your problematic food. The other option is to do a food sensitivity test, where it's a blood test, and it tests your immune reaction or your IgG reaction to a food. And if your immune system is fighting, it's a nice test that shows us a bar graph of how much your immune system is fighting that food, grading it from 0, which is like no reaction, to 5 or 6, a very high reaction. In an ideal state, you should never be fighting food, right? We should be fighting bacteria and viruses and infections, but not food. So when I see a lot of foods come back, the sustainable approach is not to take everything out. I want people to still enjoy healthy food and nourish themselves. The sustainable approach is to heal their gut. And that, you know, if they see 10 foods that come back, that's consistent with a leaky gut. If I see 1 or 2 foods come back, that let's say dairy and eggs, I'll have them eliminate it for, again, about that 4 to 6 week mark, and then reintroduce it again and see what happens. If you don't notice anything, well, keep that food in moderation, because certainly we saw on lab values that it was causing an inflammatory state. If you notice something, I encourage people to take that seriously, not brush it under the rug, but listen to your body. Your body is wise, and it wants to give you signs that, you know, symptoms are signs that something is off. And it's really important we listen to those symptoms.
It's so intriguing, because you're actually saying that this affects the immune system.
Absolutely.
Which is the core of our ability to move through our day, right?
Absolutely.
And so if people are putting foods into their bodies that their immune system is fighting against, it sets them up for all sorts of
all sorts of conditions. So whether that be joint pain, you know, if you struggle with joint pain, that could be that's inflammation in your joints. That could be from a food. That could be digestive complaints, you know, gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation. Could be neurological complaints like brain fog or depression or anxiety or memory loss. Skin complaints, eczema, psoriasis. Food can affect all different systems. And again, you know, that when we're on that subject of the neurological, the psych, ADD. I see a lot of kids, you know, that come in for ADD and parents don't want to medicate, understandably. Right. And I find they respond so well to eliminating their individual food sensitivity, and then also eliminating the food dyes is really big with ADD.
This is so great. This is so helpful. I want to circle back a little bit to the superwoman, super
sure.
tired thing.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say are the top, I know there are more in your blog, so people go to this blog and take a look at the rest of this, but what would you say are the top three actions that women can take to be superwoman in their lives without being super tired?
Mm-hmm. Number one, sleep. I think sleep is under the importance of sleep is underestimated. I think a lot of people justify going to bed at midnight because they want to try and get some work done after putting kids to bed. And they wake up at, you know, 5:30 a.m. Well, 5.5 hours of sleep is going to lead to fatigue, obviously, and a whole host of other symptoms like weight loss resistance. So we need to prioritize sleep. I recommend 7.5 to 8.5 hours of sleep. And sleep hygiene is really important. That's where it's not just getting to sleep, but it's also cleaning up your bedroom, making sure you have complete darkness in your bedroom, and taking the screens out. You know, I think a lot of us have our iPads in bed, or we have our phones right next to our bedstand. But, you know, the bedroom should be a place of rest, not a stimulating place with screens. So clean up your sleep hygiene. Number two, exercise. Jill, I see you at the gym, and we see you out running, and, you know, I'm an avid runner and exerciser as well. And I think it doesn't necessarily, for everybody, it's not going to be running the Ironman, or it's not going to be running, or it's not going to be cycle class. It's not going to be this kind of intense, more cardio-intensive exercise. For some people, they respond really well to more gentle forms of exercise, like walking or yoga. And that's where catering the exercise is really important according to their state. Like if you're in a state of adrenal fatigue, further exhausting your adrenals with high intensity intervals or high intensity cardiovascular exercise is not going to be good. That's where I encourage people to take it down a notch and do more supportive exercises like yoga, Pilates. And number three, again, I'm a big fan of food as medicine. We've talked about that quite frequently, you and I, Jill. And I believe eating nourishing foods will fuel you, such as fat and good fats and proteins, protein with every meal. So, you know, waking up in the morning with cereal is not going to fuel you for the day. I encourage people to eat eggs if they can tolerate them, or a green smoothie with protein powder or, you know, almond butter in there to fuel them. Carbohydrates, really minimizing those carbohydrates, those refined carbohydrates like white rice and white bread, and the inflammatory foods like sugar and dairy and gluten.
Well, there's so much of that around us. It must be good for us, right?
It's everywhere, right?
It's everywhere.
I tell people, when you walk into the grocery store, make sure you go to the perimeter of the grocery store, because about 90% of what's in that grocery store is not so good for us.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So thank you so much for that information. I think this is something that probably 99.9% of our listeners can relate to, at least at some point in their life. And if they can't yet, they probably will, unfortunately.
Right.
But the good thing to know is that you can have it all in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I stop myself when I say that, because you have to be careful how you define that. Because if you do think that you can, you know, work full time and raise a family full time and still be active full time, that might not be possible. So where I would start if I'm working with clients is have them define what's most important to them and start there. Mm-hmm. And then that can be their definition of having it all. If you guys could see me, I have quote marks in my hands right now, because having it all for Sarah is going to look different than having it all for me, which is going to look different to Betsy and Melinda and all the way around. So if I were to make a suggestion, I would ask you to sit down right now and make a list of what are the things that are most important to you. And don't be confused with the ones that come out first are the most important, because that might not be the case.
It might be a reflex.
It might be a reflex.
This is what I should be doing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The shoulds. We have to stop shoulding on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Stop with the shoulds. I think that alone is really stressful. And if there are people around us that are putting the shoulds on us, there's a conversation that needs to be have around that as well. Mm-hmm. As we jump tracks a little bit here, have you ever experienced shoulds in your life? And if so, how have you worked around those?
Oh, sure. I mean, being a working mom, I have two girls. They're Cece and Lulu. They're 5 and 8. And, you know, we all have that guilt, that mom guilt, I think that comes up a lot, especially as working moms. You know, I'm gone quite a bit throughout the day, and I get home late a couple days a week, and I have that guilt of, like, I should be at my child's field trip, or I should be doing homework with my child. But thank goodness I have a very supportive husband that is there with my kids often. And I think it's just about creating, you know, quality time on the weekends then, and creating boundaries for myself. You know, what's helped me is to say from Friday, I have days off. So from Friday through Sunday, I'm not going to look at my email. And, you know, I say that and I try to hold myself accountable. And especially when I'm with my children, I try to put the screens down, because I don't want them on screens all the time. I don't want to be, I want to be a good role model for them too.
Yeah. You know, that's so great. And it reminds me of a study that I read the other day. It was about parenting. And one of the very important messages they were saying in here is it's not about the quantity of hours that you spend with them. It's really about the quality of those hours.
Yeah.
So when we're there to be present, and putting away the screens and putting away the phone and not feeling like you need to be in so many places at once, I think is really, really key. Now, I also think that we have conditioned ourselves to think we need to be in all of those places. So it takes a little conscious effort to stop that track.
Mindfulness. And children are such good teachers. You know, I admire that about children, is that they can literally stop and smell the roses. Mm-hmm. They can be that mindful mentor that we need.
Yeah. So we have Mother's Day.
Yeah.
This is the month of May. We've got Mother's Day coming up. And I'm curious if you have any Mother's Day memories
I do have a Mother's Day memory, especially it just popped in my mind as we were talking about screens, actually. It was 2 years ago, Jill, that I was on a plane with my girls, and we were coming back from Portland, Oregon, so it's a 5-hour flight, and my girls were getting squirrely by the end. Everybody was tired. I think everybody knows that feeling when traveling with kids. You just feel kind of frazzled and scattered, and at the end of the flight, I was thinking of anything and everything to do with my kids. They no longer wanted to color. They no longer wanted the snacks I was trying to feed them. So we decided we were going to be barn animals. We were going to be, you know, cows mooing, and we were going to be lambs, and we were going to be giraffes, and, you know, these animals. And we were kind of playing around, and, you know, my girls were getting a little squirrely, maybe hitting the person ahead of us a little bit. And by the end of the flight, it was Mother's Day, the lady got up in front of us, and she turned back, and she looked at me, and she said, "You are a terrible mother."
Oh, my.
She said, "Control your children." And I started crying right then and there. And I said, "I'm just trying my hardest to keep my kids entertained. You know, I'm sorry I didn't put them in front of a screen or, you know, the whole time. Certainly I do sometimes, but that was my quality time with my children. Being a working mom, I said, you know, I'm going to maximize this time on the plane, 4 or 5 hours sitting next to my kids. I'm going to get creative with them." But it didn't go over so well to the lady ahead of us.
Maybe she was dealing with adrenal fatigue.
Yes. she was a little frazzled herself.
Yeah.
Maybe some gluten blues.
Yeah. Maybe she shouldn't have had that bread.
Yes, right, that cookie that was handed out.
That's right. Yep. That's horrible, though.
I know.
On Mother's Day.
I'll never forget it. Yeah, and thank goodness a nice woman behind me heard the comment and the rude comment, and she said, I thought you were doing a great job. And I said, thank you for validating. Me, I needed that.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's so important to validate one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, you know, women to women especially, I think everybody needs to validate one another, but I think women can really help build one another up.
Well, it takes a village.
It takes a village. It does. We need to be able to see each other's honorable qualities and not just think them inside, but to say them outside too. Say them out loud.
Absolutely. Spread that positivity.
Yeah. What trait or quality from your mom do you think you have received that you would like to honor?
Honestly, I think the gift of health. My mom is a marathon runner. She very much got me into this career, very much inspired me to be who I am today, a naturopathic doctor. So I thank her all the time. Thank you for raising me and giving me the gift of health and being a good role model. You know, she exercised every day and that was her outlet. I think she had some anxiety. There's six kids. I'm one of six, I'm number five. And that was her outlet. And I remember she used to run in our driveway, just in circles, just as we were playing, just to get some movement in, just to blow off some steam. Yeah.
And get her a pogo stick.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That's great. If I were interviewing your children 10 years from now, and I said, you know, what was something that you got from your mom? What would you like to hear from them?
I would love to hear the, you know, looking at the world half full, like the glass is half full, a sense of positivity. I'm always trying to teach my girls to look at the bright side. You know, if something didn't happen so great and during a day, well, let's try and find the rose out of it. Every night we play at dinner, we go around. I'm a big fan of family dinners. I think the family that eats together stays together. So we try and prioritize family dinners and we go around to make it interesting. We play rose, bud, and thorn. So rose is what beautiful thing happened today, you know? And bud is what's going to happen tomorrow that we're looking forward to.
That's beautiful.
And then thorn is what happened, that we didn't really want to happen, you know, kind of a bad part of our day, but how can we look at it more positively?
That is awesome.
Rose, bud, and thorn.
I'm going to give that a whirl. I love that. What would people be surprised to know about you?
I'm kind of goofy.
You secretly eat pizza in the closet?
I love chocolate, actually. I love dark chocolate.
Okay.
And I'm kind of goofy sometimes. Like, I like to, in college, I had this bag of fun where I would pull it out when, you know, my girlfriends and I wanted to laugh, and we'd pull out these scarves and these hats, and we'd talk like old women. And, you know, I'm kind of goofy.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
We're still going to do that some night.
Yeah, so I'll pull out my bag of fun with you, Jill.
Okay. That's great. So I know that you're a workout person, and I know that music is a huge drive. Do you have any powerful songs that you love to listen to while you're working
out? Yeah, well, hey, we're talking about the She today, right?
Yeah.
So every time Girl on Fire by Alicia Keys, isn't that a good one?
Love it.
That gets me going. So, you know, that'll come on my playlist and I run faster and I get those endorphins pumping faster and feeling good.
I love those endorphins. Is that real?
Like,
Absolutely real.
I always tell people exercise is the most underutilized antidepressant. Mm-hmm. It really is.
What do you have to do to get those endorphins? Is it a certain duration, a certain intensity? What?
Definitely cardiovascular exercise. You need cardio, and I would say like 20 minutes in.
Okay.
So, you know, doing 10, 15 minutes probably isn't quite enough, but 20 to 40 minutes would probably be ideal to get that rush.
And do you think it's an intensity? So, for example, could I just go for a 20-minute walk and get it?
I think you could.
Okay.
I really think you could, if you get your heart rate up.
Yeah.
Especially walk outside, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Girl on Fire.
Girl on Fire.
Any others?
Well, you know, in Mother's Day, Sweetest Devotion by Adele.
Oh, yes. Lovely. Yeah. Lovely. That's so great. So, what else do you think our listeners are dying to hear about you? I'm really putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
About you and or the services that you offer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I feel very fortunate to be in the field that I'm in. I am so passionate about what I do. I thank my patients every day. Like, thank you for teaching me. I'm constantly learning from my patients, how to be patient myself and how to be a good listener. So I love what I do, and I think that there's so much that natural medicine can offer. You know, if you're not in the Milwaukee area or the Madison area, if you live out of state, check out naturopathic.org so you can find a naturopathic doctor yourself, so that you can be an advocate for yourself, and a naturopathic doctor can be an advocate for you, mm-hmm. to figure out what's going on. Because sometimes it's not always in your head. You know, if you're feeling certain symptoms and you're not satisfied with the antidepressant cop-out quick fix, search for answers.
You know, I can attest to that, because I am gluten-free. I do have a gluten intolerance, and my symptoms before I realized I needed to be gluten-free were digestive.
Mm-hmm.
And I cleared that up. And every now and then I slip, or sometimes something gets slipped into my food that I didn't realize.
Sure, you get glutened.
I get glutened, yes. Exactly. And I no longer feel the physical symptoms like I used to, but I feel the depressive symptoms.
Absolutely. That's what happens to me about 24 hours later.
Yes.
Yes.
It's crazy. And I get really fatigued, and I get like this hopeless gray state, and like, this is the way my life is always going to be.
A fog.
It feels terrible.
Yeah. You're under a fog.
And if I hadn't known that,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, how the heck am I going to get out of this?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first step is figuring out, like, I always like to start with food, figuring out what is your food sensitivity. And then it's not just about taking foods out. It's about adding nourishing foods in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and nourishing antioxidant-rich foods in. Like, I love to cook, so I always try to give people recipes when they leave my office. And I've got a lot of recipes on my blog that you can check out. But making meals can be therapeutic.
I have, I'm not the greatest at making meals.
Okay.
I'm one of these superwomen who, like, is on the go a lot, and I don't always take time, and I kind of grew up that way. So it's in my reflexive behavior.
Sure.
So to change that takes some real consciousness. But I was with a couple of friends of mine a year or so ago, and both of them on different situations were cooking. They're like, well, let's just stay in and cook. I'm like, oh, that sounds great. But I meant, like, I would watch them cook. You know,
you do it for me,
yeah,
and I'll reap the benefits.
I'll talk to you while
you
cook. I'll eat it for you. But one of the things I learned from both of them, and again, this was on two separate situations, was they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole new concept for me to believe that, oh, I could cook and I could love it mm-hmm. while I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, that is stuck in my mind, and I have consciously been changing the tape in my mind that says cooking is a pain in the ass.
Cooking is a chore.
Cooking is
a
chore.
See, I view cooking as an art. It's an outlet for me.
It's
like
this creative process that fueled me instead of depleting me.
Literally.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
So here's to
and
fueling.
And people always say, I don't have time to cook. And I think if you want to be healthy, you have to carve in time to cook. You cannot rely on restaurants to feed you. So, you know, maybe that's just simply starting with cutting up some vegetables and boiling some eggs, you know, or putting like hummus into little individual containers and kind of setting yourself up for success in little ways like that.
Right.
Or trying one new recipe a week.
That's perfect, because mm-hmm. here's one of the things that I find with my clients and the students that I work with at UWM is oftentimes when they want to make behavior change, they think they need to go from 0 to 100 one day.
Yep.
And that's not the way it works.
Right.
You know, sustainable change does not happen in spikes. Sustainable change happens over time. Little bits and pieces, and you build the evidence of success along the way. And so I agree. I always coach my clients into saying, well, maybe this week, if we take cooking, for example, maybe you choose 2 days. If you've been going out to eat 7 days a week, cooking in 7 days a week is probably not sustainable. So let's cook in 2 days.
Yeah.
And maybe on those 2 days, you actually make twice as much.
Exactly. I love that, Jill. That is my key to, like, for all of you who are busy and think that you don't have enough time to cook. If you are going to go to the extent, you're going to take the time to cook that one meal or two meals, you know, new recipes, double the recipe so that you put it in the freezer. Freezer meals are great for a late night. You know, you get home late night, pull it out, heat it up in the oven, you got a home-cooked meal.
Yeah, I agree. And that has been a savior for me as well because I don't want to cook every night.
Right.
I just don't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, you're
so
welcome.
Much.
Thank
this
you, Jill.
It's been really fun and so informative. Like, I want that USB port because I want like 5 hours with her, but that still wouldn't be enough. So, yes, thank you, and happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to you, too.
May you not be on a plane and have a cranky
person yell at you this time again.
So, thank you, listeners, for being with us today. I hope that this was insightful for you as it was for me. And I'm serious, everyone, check out Dr. Sarah's website, which, again, is
LakesideNaturalMedicine.com.
And I want you to know, if you're not local, she can work with you via Skype.
Absolutely. Phone consults, Skype, I do. Yep. You know, and again, I always do recommend people maintain their relationship with their primary.
Right.
You know, that's especially local. But I'm happy to be that health alternative medicine consultant for you.
Excellent. So in closing today, what I want to encourage you to do is to figure out how you can become your own best superwoman, not in the form that you have to do everything, but that you get to do everything you want to because it fuels you and it builds you up to be your own best person. And I love Sarah's exercise that she did, the rosebud thorn. So maybe today, challenge yourself to do that. Think about what was your rose and what was your bud and what was your thorn, and become more conscious. Because I think when we become more conscious, we notice things that we never noticed before. We notice when foods work well for us and when they don't. And when our body is telling us that we're tired and we need to be able to shut things down.
Mm-hmm. Pay attention to those signs your body gives you. Again, the body is wise. It wants to be in a state of balance. We have to pay attention to that.
That's right. Start there. I you may hear this on a number of my podcasts, but I think it's so important. I'm going to take the risk of repeating it over and over again. And that is, if you want to change something, first come at it with consciousness. You don't have to change activity or behavior around it at all. But the first step is just bring consciousness to it.
I love that.
Be more aware.
Yep. The awareness is the first step to change.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Thank you again. This is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching. I am so grateful for you, Dr. Sarah, and grateful for you, listeners, for being with us here today. See you on the next podcast.
Thanks for being with us today. We invite you to join us on our mission to move people forward and upward. Go to JillMSummers.com. That's JillMSummers.com for more information and to listen to other inspiring podcasts. And remember to do one thing today that moves your life forward, which impacts others around you to do the same.